The following message is presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information, go to the website www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Now the message.
We're going to play a game again this morning because that's just what I like to do. Y'all ever like two things that just go together, right? I eat less, I lose weight. There we go. I starve. Yeah, I'm angry. I work hard. I get a raise, a promotion. All right, good. All right. I let somebody merge in front of me in traffic. Later on, what happens, right? When I have to merge over, somebody should let me over, right? All right, good. We're all on the same page so far. Anybody else got like for instance, like that? Cause and effect. Anybody? I'm asking y'all to think too much. I'm sorry. I know. Here we go. I don't sleep. I am tired. There we go. Good. There's another cause and effect. That one everybody can relate to. I started thinking about isn't there like a natural order, a natural law? Like, you're just certain things that go together. Again, if I work hard, I get a promotion. I get a raise. If I stop eating as much, I get skinnier. If I don't sleep enough, I get tired. If I do good, in turn, other people will be nice to me. Like, these are all things that are just kind of like naturally ingrained in us. And there's this natural order that exists in the world that nobody really ever acknowledges. It just is kind of there, right? I mean, like, has anybody ever told you, hey, listen, when you merge, someone else is going to let you merge later? If anything, the opposite. Has anybody ever told you, hey, listen, all you have to do to get skinny is stop eating? Try that. That doesn't work. I just get angry. Anybody ever told you, hey, listen, if you work hard, you will get what's coming to you. You may get promised that, but then the opposite is also true that for a lot of us. Like, I'll never forget, I had a job one time. Oh man, it was terrible. I hated this job. I had two jobs that I really disliked. One was I worked for an insurance company. Me, an insurance guy, and I sat behind a computer all day. Worst possible space for somebody with ADD to be, because I'm like wigging out the whole time. It was an awful job. But I remember when they hired me, they said, hey, listen, you know, like, we're going to keep you on. This is temporary to start out with, but it's going to move to full time. I'm like, awesome. That's great. You know, good benefits. This is wonderful. And then like after the like temporary time was over, they're like, hey, we still like you. You're doing good, but we're not going to move you to full time just yet. And I was like, all right. So I ended up working for this company for 6 months under part time status, which meant no insurance, no all these benefits and all this stuff, no good pay. And then after 6 months, and I finished the job that I was working on, they were like, hey, we're going to let you go. That's not how it's supposed to work. Like, there's an order here. And then the next, after that, I went and I worked for a water company, dug ditches. I was really good at digging ditches, I thought. I could dig ditches with the best of them. They'd give me a shovel, and I'd, yes, sir, I'd go and I'd dig. And same thing, man. They're, hey, listen, we just want to get you started in. And I said, all right, great. So I'm sitting there. I'm wearing like cowboy boots because that's what everybody else wore to work, was cowboy boots. And I'm getting in ditches and I'm doing all this stuff and I'm learning to fix pipes and read meters and all these different things. And at the end of the, like, this project where they had a subdivision that they were putting all brand new fire hydrants in, and we did this whole subdivision. And after it was over with, the boss called me and he goes, hey, listen, it's just not going to work out for you. No, man. Like, that's not the way this works. Like, I did good. I did what you wanted me to do. And he's like, yeah, but now that job's done, there's nothing for you to do. I was like, what? That's the opposite of the way things are supposed to work. And I was reading through scripture this week, and it was kind of a couple weeks ago. We looked at the story of this, but it's in Romans chapter 9, verse 13. The title today is, I'm thankful that God is God. Let me just say that. I'm thankful God's God. I'm thankful God's God and I'm not, is the kind of subtitle of that. In Romans chapter 9, verse 13 through 15, it says this: as it is written, Jacob I loved, but Esau I hated. And what shall we say then? Is there injustice on God's part? By no means. For he says to Moses, I'll have mercy on whom I have mercy, and I'll have compassion on whom I have compassion on. As I read over that text, and I was looking at that, God breaks the natural order. The natural order was the firstborn son was he was the one who was supposed to get everything. That's the way that things worked. And God breaks the natural order of things and does the exact opposite of what the natural order is. And it left me wondering if you are like me, y'all ever like find these times in life where God doesn't make sense? You know what I mean? Like there's this natural order, God. Listen, God, the firstborn son, they're supposed to receive everything. They're the one who's you're supposed to work through. Why are you picking Jacob when Esau is the firstborn son? We're going through John on Wednesday night, and all through the Gospel of John, we're seeing this idea where like God has this natural thing, and what it, the natural order, God upsets the natural order of things, and he does something completely opposite. And there are times in life when God just doesn't make sense. And let me be clear, I don't think that God has to think like me. It'd be great if he did. But I don't necessarily think that God has to think like me, but I do think that, again, there's this natural order that just kind of happens in life. But yet I find that there are times when even this natural order is in place and it's there, God doesn't make sense because he doesn't stick with the natural order. But anybody had to bury their kids? It's not the natural order. It's supposed to be the opposite. They're supposed to bury me one day. I'm not supposed to bury them. Anybody ever have to watch a brother or sister that's younger than you pass away and you've had to bury a sibling? That's not the natural order. The older is supposed to pass away before the younger, and it's so confusing because there are just times in life when God doesn't make sense. And the natural order that God is supposed to follow, he doesn't follow. And so being that it's Thanksgiving, the blanks are when God doesn't make sense on the screens. Being that it's Thanksgiving, I thought it was a good idea to try and refocus my mind just on this idea to be thankful when God is God and I'm not. And so we're just going to real quick walk through that. And there are a couple of places that like I see this. In Isaiah chapter 55 verses 8 and 9, it says this. My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. The first part of that verse is interesting to me. My ways aren't your ways. Great passage of scripture, but what's that mean? What does it mean, my ways aren't your ways? Y'all ever like looked at a situation and been like, okay, yeah, if I just do this and this, then this will happen, right? Anybody ever been there? All right, here we go. Anybody ever looked at their paycheck? All right, I've got this here. I've got this bills. Nope, not this. This ain't gonna work. I don't know how this is gonna cover this. And you have these situations in life, and everything you look at, the way that you would listen, if God would just give me $500,000, I don't even need a full million. If God would just give, if I would walk out to my mailbox one day and there'd be a check for $500,000, do you know how much good I could do for the world? Not just like myself, the world. I think I could make a difference in the world if God would just give me $500,000. But he doesn't always do that, does he? Because his ways are different than my ways. Anybody ever looked at a problem or this situation in life and you've tried and you've tried and you've tried and everything you've done hasn't worked? This scripture tells us that God's ways aren't always our ways. And so the first thing I'm thankful for is I'm thankful that God's ways aren't my ways. That God sees impossible situations and he makes impossible situations come possible. All through scripture, you find this I think it's in Matthew's the first spot, Matthew chapter 19, verse 26. Jesus looked at them and said, with man, this is impossible. With God, all things are possible. Genesis chapter 18, verse 14. If anything is too difficult, is anything too difficult for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return to you in about a year, and Sarah will have a son. Job chapter 42, verse 2. I know that you can do all things, and that no plan of yours can be thwarted. The idea here is that over and over again, all through Scripture, you see where God takes impossible situations and makes them happen. Because what you and I look at and we say, this is impossible. I can't fix this problem. God says, it's impossible for you, but it's not for me. And so while granted there are ways that I would fix things and there are ways that I would go about doing things, Miss Bonnie and I were talking last week in her office about, she said she has a journal where she wrote down, I think, all the different ways of things that she asked God for and how he didn't just do that, but he went above and beyond what she even asked him for. If you don't have a prayer journal, I encourage you to keep a prayer journal, if nothing else, because it's amazing how you'll see this very thing take place in your life, where you ask God for things and he does not just meet the expectation, but he goes beyond it. And he does way more than you could ever think or imagine, because his ways are better than your ways. And what you don't see is God answering prayers, and as what you don't see is God fixing situations. He actually is, but it's in a completely different way than you could ever dream or imagine. And it actually turns out being way better for you than you could ever think or imagine. Embarrassing story, because we don't have time for that, but I was engaged before Kelsey. I know y'all are shocked. I'm so sorry. She doesn't like the girl either. It's okay. Me either. This isn't live. It's all right. I was engaged before Kelsey, and I'll never forget, like, she called me one day and she said, hey, I've got some stuff going on. We don't need to see each other. Okay, whatever. So, like, I gave her space, did her thing, but all that different stuff. And the whole time I was sitting there, I was like, God, if you could just make this, if you could cause her to stop being stupid, like, this would work out. We could do so much good if you would just cause her to stop being so foolish. And he did it. He caused her to be even more foolish and more foolish and more foolish. And eventually, like, I don't even know, I guess maybe I never actually broke up with her. I need to check that out. We did? Okay. All right, good. But like, and I remember, like, all of a sudden it just kind of like ended, and she went her way, and she started dating somebody else, and like eventually I started dating Kelsey, like, after lots of high fives and handshakes and stuff. And like, we got to the point where, like, now I'm sitting here and I'm looking at my life and I'm like, man, God, I was so concerned about this situation, and if you would just fix this situation, I would have completely missed the best thing in the world. And if you would have done what I wanted you to do at the time my way, and you would have fixed it my way, I would have missed completely the exact opposite of what you needed me to have. And so I'm so thankful that God's ways are not my ways. The second thing I'm thankful for is this. I'm thankful that God's thoughts aren't my thoughts. Again, you go back to Isaiah chapter 55. It says, your thoughts are not my thoughts. You know what I'm saying. Your thoughts are higher than my thoughts. Have you ever had a thought and you had no clue where it came from? Okay. Some of y'all are maybe not being honest, but like, you're sitting there all of a sudden, and sometimes they're bad thoughts. Like, I forget who, we were talking a thing on Wednesday night about somebody, and they're like, I may have just committed homicide in my mind. And I'm like, ooh, that got really dark real quick. Not those thoughts, like, just genuine thoughts. Y'all ever heard of a guy named Jabal, Jubal, and Tubal Cain in Scripture? Do you know who they were? Jabal, Jubal, and Tubal Cain were three brothers in the book of Genesis. One of them decided that it was a good idea to, instead of chasing livestock through the woods and getting them for meat and food and stuff, you should put a pen around them and keep them all in one spot. And he was the father of shepherding herds. Another guy found out that if there's this stuff called iron that's in the ground, and if you sharpen it just right, you can make some really useful tools like shovels and swords and things like that. And so he found by playing with rocks that you could find some useful things. Tubal Cain was the one that intrigued me. He found out that if you took a string of something and you put it between two different things like this and you went bung, it made noise. And he found out that if you did this with drums and you could do all these different things, and he was the father of musical instruments. Popcorn. I had no clue popcorn was at the first Thanksgiving. I learned something today from Mr. Mike. Who thinks about these things? God. God starts this thought in people's minds, and then all of a sudden it becomes acceptable. Let me give you an example from you and I's life. Suffering produces endurance. strength. Anybody ever heard that? Anybody like you've kind of like football. I used to tell football players this all the time. Hey, listen, practice is tough, but practice is tough so that game time's sweet, right? The suffering is worth it. But is anybody ever like just, man, I suffered so good today. Miss Monica, you should have seen me suffering. I was suffering with the best of them. They couldn't even touch how hard I was suffering. No. Because it's not a natural mindset. We've convinced ourselves that it's natural. We've convinced ourselves that it's good, but it's not. Don't believe me? Watch kids. How many of you ever watched a kid and a kid fell down or a kid did something or they suffered and they got up and they said, oh man, that fall really hurt, Dad, but I'm so glad I did it because I learned that I shouldn't jump off the back of the couch onto the pillow that's on the floor. No, that doesn't happen. They jump off the back of the couch onto the pillow that's on the floor. They bust their bottom and they cry and they scream about it because it's not good. There's no idea that suffering produces good things. Until you find Job chapter 13. Until you find verses like James chapter 1, 2 through 4. Until you find Romans chapter 8, I believe it is, chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 through 7. Those are all there in your listening guide. But this is the idea that suffering produces something in you and I that is worthwhile, that it's good, that God works through our suffering to produce something inside of us that's good. That's not you and I's thought. That's a thought that comes from God because his thoughts are way, way better than you and I's thoughts. When I suffer, if I stick with my way of thinking on suffering, this day just stinks. Everything about this stinks. It's cold outside. My toes hurt. My knee hurts. I got a pinky finger that has a weird nail thing going on. I didn't even get breakfast this morning. The coffee was cold. That's what happens if I stick in my way of thinking. All of a sudden, we become consumed. Y'all ever just get consumed with evil thoughts? Just dark stuff that like clouds your mind and it messes you up. And it never actually takes place, but it's all right here. That's because our thoughts aren't God's thoughts. And I'm so thankful that God's thoughts aren't my thoughts. Because his thoughts produce good things. His thoughts produce grace and mercy and love and joy and peace and confidence and things that in and of myself, my thoughts don't produce. The last thing that I'm thankful for is I'm thankful that God's love isn't my love. Let me ask you guys this. How does God love you? Well, you said it. Unconditionally. What is unconditional love? Oh, that's so hard. Why? Because everything we know is conditional love. Don't believe me? Go to work and do a terrible job tomorrow. Just walk in the doors of your office, wherever you work tomorrow, and say, you know what? Not doing a dadgum thing. I'm going to be the worst employee you've ever seen today. See if they still love you on the way out the door with a bag packed. Oh, wait, it gets worse. Go to school next week, kids. Tell your teachers, I'm going to be the worst student you've ever seen. Watch how much they love you all the way to the principal's office. It gets worse. Go to your spouse today. I'm going to be the worst husband you've ever seen. Don't even try to make me happy because it's not going to work. I'm going to kick my shoes off. I'm going to leave my clothes. I'm going to leave a trail of clothes from the door all the way to the bedroom. I'm not going to pick up a single thing. I'm not going to wash a single dish. I'm not going to help you with the kids. I'm not going to do anything. Why? Because I want to be the most selfish husband in the world. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know what I'm saying. Kids. Even as kids. What are you taught as kids? I love Nora to death. Nora has she gets her apologeticness from her mom. But she apologizes for things all the time. I'm like, Nora, it's okay, baby. Like, I love you regardless. But what's ingrained in all of us is this idea that love is conditional. And it's what I do and it's how I perform. And it's what I do for you that benefits you is how you love me in return. And so everything in our love is conditional. Every single thing we know, every relationship you and I know, every friendship, work, business, whatever it is, every relationship that you and I understand in and of ourselves is conditional. It's based on what you do for me and what I do for you. Listen, I had a friend, I'll never forget this. He called me one day and he said, hey, I need to meet you. I drove and I met him. He said, hey, man, I messed up. I had an affair with my wife. I said, dude, I'm so sorry. Like, I don't even know how to grasp that. I don't know how to wrap my head around that. I was a groomsman at his wedding. Like, he was a groomsman at my wedding. Like, we were friends. We were buddies. We were in this together. And then I said, what are you going to do? And he said, well, we're going to go to counseling. I said, awesome, man. You know, like, I encouraged him, tried to do the best I could. And I'll never forget, a year later, he called me. A year almost to the day later, he called me. He goes, hey, you know what? I'm getting a divorce. I'm just done. What? You and I worked at, we taught like kids at summer camp together. Like, we were like, he was like a strong Christian guy. I was like, what are you doing? He goes, she just doesn't do it for me anymore. That's not an option the last time I looked. Like, when I looked, that wasn't an option. That just because somebody doesn't do what you want anymore, that you can just say, hey, I'm done. That's not the way it's supposed to go. But that's what you and I live in, a world that is just poured full of conditional love. And the one place it's not is in God. Because God pours out unconditional love towards you and I. And even when we can't deserve it, even when we aren't our best, even when we are the most selfish human beings on the planet, and we think that God needs to think like I think, and God needs to do things like I want God to do things, God says, hey, listen, you know what? I still love you. John chapter... I lost my spot. It's in John. I can tell you that. John chapter 15, verse 13 says this: greater love has this. Greater love has no man than this, that he would lay down his life for his friend. Follow that up with Romans chapter 5, verses 6 through 8. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. God demonstrates his love for us, and that we, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Everything about our life is conditional love. But I'm so, so thankful that God's love for me is unconditional. The only way I can love my family the way I'm supposed to is because of what I've seen demonstrated from him. The only way I can love you unconditionally is because of what I've seen demonstrated from him. And so this morning, I'm so thankful, I'm so grateful that God's love is not my love. I'm so thankful God doesn't make sense. Because if God made sense the way that I think God needs to make sense, then God would only do things the way that I wanted things done, and I would miss out on so many other things. If God only thought like I thought, then I would miss out on things like popcorn and music and all the different good things that come from having thoughts that aren't our thoughts. I would live in a dark, dark place. If God only loved like I loved, man, I'd be lost. I'd be out of luck, and I would be so, so miserable. But I'm so thankful this morning that God doesn't love the way that I love. He doesn't think the way that I think, and his ways are not my ways. And God doesn't make sense. This morning, as we go into Thanksgiving, I want to challenge you guys just to think about ways in your life, maybe times in your life where you've said, God, listen, if you would just do this, God, if you would just fix things like this, if you would do this, if you would make things happen like this, or God, if you could just think like this, or if you could just love like me for one day and let me be angry to everybody, it'd be so easy. Instead, I want you to thank God that what he does, man, even if you never understand it, even if you never comprehend it until you get to eternity, when you get to eternity and all the times that God didn't make sense on earth are going to be clear as day in heaven. And you're going to sit back and say, oh, I see what you did there. That was pretty cool, God. I never would have seen this. Thank you so much for that. But instead of waiting until you get to heaven to do it, this Thanksgiving, make that your theme. God, I thank you for not making sense. For all the things in my life that I don't understand, I thank you for them still. And let that be your theme this year. God, we thank you so much for today. God, we thank you for who you are. God, a God who doesn't make sense. Because God, if you only did things that we could conceive, Father, if you only thought like we think, Lord, if you only loved like we loved, all of us would be dark, lonely, lost, and hopeless. So, Father, this morning, I'm so grateful that you are God, and I'm not. God, I pray that you would help us as we go into this Thanksgiving season to be grateful for the blessings that you've given us, the things that you're doing that we could never conceive. God, most of all, I thank you. I pray that we'd be thankful for the love that you have for each of us. Lord, for those that may not know that love, I pray that this morning they would have a conversation with you about accepting your gift of salvation in their life. Father, for those of us who just need to be thankful during this time and during this next song of invitation, God, we just need to worship you and we need to be thankful for what you have done and what you're continuing to do in our lives. Lord, we pray that you would be obedient, we would be obedient to you this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
The preceding message was presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information about a relationship with Jesus Christ or about the church, including contact information, please go to our website, www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.